Thank you.
If you favor the substitute motion, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. The motion is carried. Now, if you favor the motion as substituted, would you lift your hand? Opposition by like sign. The motion is carried. We now have the resolution as amended twice. Once. No, we voted on the substitute motion. The resolution has to do with violence, resolution number 11.
Mr. Chairman, microphone number 6.
Microphone number?
6.
6.
J.W. Bargiol, B-A-R-G-I-O-L, North Carolina. Next to the last paragraph, be it further resolved, to bring this into its proper perspective, there are two very brief changes that I would like to move. Be it further resolved that we strive to purge hostility. I would like to insert that we continue to strive. And then, on down in the paragraph, seek forgiveness for our own sins and commit ourselves to reverence. I would like to change the reading to, and reaffirm our reverence and respect for the lives and rights of others. I move this change.
Do I hear a second? All right, I'm going to ask the brother at microphone 6 to come to the platform, give name and copy of motion to Dr. Allen.
Point of order.
May I request also that every other one who has made a motion do likewise, because we want a proper record, accurate record.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
All right, microphone 1.
I understood that we had an amendment and that we voted a substitute to the amendment.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
And then you voted on the motion as amended. Is that correct?
No, we did not. We voted on the substitution, then we voted on what was substituted.
I see.
Robert's Rules of Order, I don't remember the page. All right, are you ready to vote on this last motion to amend? The last motion to amend says we continue, this is next to the last, be it resolved, further resolved. We continue to strive, and then down the middle part, and we reaffirm ourselves, or reaffirm something. Reaffirm our reverence. Is that what it is? Are you ready to vote? If you favor the motion to amend, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. Let's do it again. If you favor the motion to amend, stand. Thank you, down. If you oppose, stand. And the motion is carried. Now we have the original with the amendments. Question has been moved. Do I hear a second? If you favor the previous question, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. If you favor the resolution as amended, please stand. Thank you. Be seated. If you are opposed, stand. And the motion is carried.
Mr. Chairman, microphone 6, please.
Microphone 6.
I offer a motion at this time that we stand and have prayer for the bereaved families of the law enforcing officers of our nation, the National Guard, and those who keep the peace in the future.
You hear a motion, brethren. What's the brother's name?
John Sartin, Brookhaven, Mississippi.
John what?
Sartin, S-A-R-T-I-N.
S-A-R-T-I-N. Let me ask you, brother, if you would be willing for this request to be received informally and incorporated in our closing prayer today.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
I see nowhere prayer has been mentioned in this resolution at all.
I understand. We shall incorporate your request in the closing prayer with the general consent of the brethren and with your consent. All right, Brother Chairman, let's move expedition.
A very significant resolution, resolution number 12, an appropriate climax, I think, to all of these resolutions. And we call upon Mrs. Mathis of Alabama to present this resolution.
Whereas the greatest need of the world is a spiritual awakening and a turning to God through Jesus Christ, and whereas Baptists of this hemisphere are engaged in the greatest evangelistic enterprise in the history of Christianity, the Crusade of the Americas, and whereas our newly elected president, W.A. Criswell, has expressed his desire to lead the convention into a tremendous evangelistic and missionary effort, therefore be it resolved that we commend our denominational leaders, agencies, and workers, and our churches, pastors, and people, for their commitment to the cause of evangelism in general, and the Crusade of the Americas in particular. And be it further resolved that we call our people to full dedication and united prayer, that the Crusade of the Americas might result in a mighty spiritual revival sweeping this hemisphere and the world. And be it further resolved that we pledge our prayerful support to our new president and our other leaders as they seek to lead us in this unprecedented evangelistic undertaking. Mr. President, I move the adoption of resolution number 12.
Do I hear a second? Are you ready to vote? All favoring, lift your hand. Opposition by like sign. And the resolution is carried.
The committee had two other resolutions that were presented to this body and referred to us, and we report on the disposition of these. The disposition of the resolution offered by Brother Stafford Berry of South Carolina, calling for a communication to the television networks of our disapproval of the increase of the use of profane and vulgar language on programs. We recommend that this matter be referred to the Christian Life Commission for appropriate action and communication in behalf of the convention, and we urge individuals to express their personal disapproval through letters written directly to stations, networks, and sponsoring advertisers. I move this be referred to the Christian Life Commission.
Do I hear a second? Are you ready to vote?
Brother Moderator.
I hear somebody. Number two.
Microphone two, please.
Microphone two.
Yes, sir. James Burks, B-U-R-K-S, from Virginia. I'd like to offer a substitute motion that the matter be acted on in this session. Move that it be done now. And if we've had all of the talk, brethren, and we've implemented very little of past resolutions on all these matters, and the only way to do it is to act on it today. If you wish to instruct the Christian Life Commission to do it for us, okay. But I'd like to offer the substitute motion that we act on the matter in this session.
Microphone two, hold just a moment. Somebody made a statement. Well, I guess he has a right to a preamble.
I'll second the motion.
Microphone number two. You're moving a substitute, you're making a substitute motion.
This may not be exactly what I should have said, but whatever it would take to implement action in this session rather than refer. If you'd suggest a better way, I'll be happy to get
it
in the record.
When you say substitute, you need to say what is to be substituted.
Well, excuse me. I thought Dr. Dehoney had moved that it be referred to the Christian Life Commission.
Yes, there is action here that we refer to the Christian Life Commission this matter to communicate for us. We're instructing, asking them to communicate for this convention officially our objection to obscene language and vulgar language on the networks. And this is in the statement. Let me read it to you again. We recommend that this matter be referred to the Christian Life Commission for appropriate action and communication in behalf of the convention.
Does appropriate action then mean definitely doing exactly what this resolution includes?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I feel like they're the body that ought to communicate for us collectively, and we ought to communicate individually.
I just don't see why this needs to be referred.
Will you withdraw your motion? Will you withdraw your motion now?
Yes, sir, if they'll do it tomorrow morning.
All right, will the brother who seconded the motion please withdraw? Are you ready to vote?
Microphone six.
Microphone six.
I'm Truman Spurgeon from Arkansas. Does this have to do only with language, or does it include some pictures that are as bad or worse than the language?
The original resolution did not deal with anything but language.
The original resolution dealt only with language.
May I? Brother Chairman, microphone two.
Microphone six is being is recognized. Are you through?
May I add to this recommendation that not only language, but pictures that are just as obscene as the language be included?
All right, give me your name.
Truman Spurgeon.
Truman?
Truman.
Spell it.
T-R-U-M-A-N.
Truman, we ought to know that.
Spurgeon, S-P-U-R-G-I-N.
Spurgeon. May I remind the brother at microphone six that already we have passed a resolution on obscenity. Does this satisfy you?
Okay, I'll take it.
Motion withdrawn. We are back now to the resolution. Are you ready to vote? All favoring, lift your hand. Opposition by like sign. The resolution is carried.
The other motion, the other resolution given to us by the convention was a resolution offered by Brother S.L. Whatley of Alabama, requesting that the convention ask President Johnson to appoint another clergyman to the study committee on the causes of crime. It is the judgment of the committee that the content of this resolution is not germane to the business of this convention, and we did not act upon it. That is our report. You may do what you want with it.
Here is a report which the resolutions committee is required to make. They are not required to recommend, but they are required to report. This report will be received without motion if it meets with your approval. And the report is received. Now we have two items which I think can be dispensed with, but I shouldn't say that, quickly. Brother Ruth, will you make the brief, quick, right to the point announcement?
Thank you. Dr. McCall this morning admitted that he had made a mistake and was a giraffe. I want to admit that I made one. I'm not going to classify just what animal. But you will notice on page 4 of the bulletin this morning in the statement concerning the crisis of our nation that the preamble is not there. This was deleted, left out by the printer in the rush of getting this in. It was in the action which was taken on Wednesday. It was in the bulletin which was presented to you Wednesday morning. It will be in the official record. It has been in all releases, both the secular press and the religious press. It has been mimeographed and will be available for you at the registration booth as you leave this morning. It is a part of the recommendation approved by this convention.
A very important announcement and a very important statement. Now, Dr. H.H. Hobbs, by previous announcement, by previous action, has been allowed time to give report on Baptist papers. Dr. Hobbs, do you think it lies within your ability to be brief?
I can get the presiding officer to move over, so I can. I think I can.
I love you, too.
Well, I can assure you I love you as much as you love me. You know, this second president in a row from Tennessee has done another good job along with the one just before him, hasn't he? Well, I want to tell you something. We've got a third president in a row from Tennessee. In fact, if you'd have voted for Criswell or Cooper, you would have had, because the other day the governor of Tennessee made them both honorary citizens of Tennessee. So if you want to get to be president of Southern Baptist Convention, well, anyway, I'm happy to bring to the Resolute and Southern Baptist Convention. I still say if we ever change the name of it, that ought to be it. I said that in Dallas, and I believe it more than ever now. You'll find the report of the Committee on Baptist State Papers on pages 175 and 6. There are no recommendations. And in order to give back most of the time allotted to this group, I move that the report be adopted.
Motion made and seconded that this report be adopted. Dr. Hobbs, do you have a word?
I asked the editors to be on the platform at 9:30. They may have strayed off to the back 40 somewhere now, but I'm going to ask the editors of our Baptist State paper, some of them down here, some of them maybe up here, if you'll just stand. These men work in the background. They never are seen very much, but they do a tremendous job.
There are no recommendations, and this report will be received. All right. Yes, Dr. Hobbs has a motion. I'm sorry.
I'm about to work myself out of a job. Though the appoint the personnel of this committee has been published in the Daily Bulletin, it is a special committee, and for continuing it requires a action by the convention. I move that this committee be continued another year.
Do I hear a second? Dr. Allen?
I think the committee on... Committee has already recommended it, and action has been taken. Is that not correct?
We recommended the personnel. Designate you as chairman, I thought.
Well, if this has already been done, we don't need to do anything twice.
Go ahead, I hear it. Go ahead.
Just to be sure, if you favor this motion, lift your hand. Now, in opposition, by like sign, and we do concur. Now we come to two matters that have been previously ordered. Brother Chairman of the Committee on Order of Business, who comes next? Dr. Stevens from Mississippi.
Mr. President and messengers, on yesterday I made a motion that is pending before us now, the substance of which is that our executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention conduct a survey during the ensuing year of the needs of retirees who have been pastors within our denomination, staff members of churches, missionaries, and other denominational servants, and who have served for as long as 30 years. And among those in this survey whose total income may be less than $2,400, that some steps be taken to remedy this situation in behalf of those who have done so much for the cause of Christ, many of whom have labored during days when salaries were far lower than they are today, and who, if even they participated in the annuity board retirement plan, were participating on the basis of maybe $1,000 a year, or $2,000 a year, or even $3,000 a year. And with the continued inflation, many of these servants of the Lord who have made the way easier for us today may be drawing even less than a total annual income of $1,000. And through pride and through not wanting to be a burden to our denomination, they have not sounded forth any complaints. Many of us have been blessed by serving churches and in areas where our salaries have been quite adequate. We ought to be compassionately concerned for these servants of the Lord in their twilight years. I call to your attention a statement that we adopted from the executive board of our convention on Wednesday. We are an affluent society, abounding in wealth and luxury, yet far too many of our people suffer from poverty. Let us underscore those words, our people, our people, where charity should begin at home. And the Bible teaches us that we are to do good unto all men, especially unto them that be of the household of faith, and that we are to bear one another's burdens. And my motion is not to take the place of or interfere with any steps that our executive board may be contemplating or that our annuity board may be considering. My motive is simply to give to them our blessing, our encouragement in pursuing this matter in the most constructive way possible to meet the needs of these servants of our Lord. And I'm willing as a pastor, and I believe most of the pastors would be willing to do so, in order to meet these needs, I would be happy to go to my church and ask my church to increase by 10% the amount that my church is now paying in my behalf for my own retirement, and let that be designated for a special fund to increase the help for these retired brethren who are receiving far less maybe than $2,400. And if this were done across the convention, I think we could currently meet the needs of this worthy cause without jeopardizing any of our program. Thank you.
Now, may I remind you, brethren, the motion really is not to be decided. That is, we are not asked to do something here. This is a motion to refer. Therefore, I'm going to encourage us to stay right with the motion to refer. The motion is to refer to the executive committee.
Mr. President, microphone number six.
Six.
Richard Lubert from Louisiana. May I simply ask or request that this also include the widows of these brethren of whom the good brother speaks?
Mr. Chairman.
All right. Are you finished?
Yes, sir.
Microphone six, Dr. Ruth.
Mr. Chairman, let me call your attention to the fact that talking to Brother Stevens yesterday, the suggestion was made that this might be referred to the executive committee rather than a special committee. I checked the program statement, which was adopted by this convention in 1963, and in this, in the program of the annuity board, it says that its objective in the program of ministers' relief administration is to provide a channel through which Southern Baptists can extend systematic financial help to ministers or widows of ministers who are in need, to provide a source of financial help in case of emergency and so forth. And I was just discussing with Brother Stevens, I talked with Dr. Reed about this, I think he has no objection to it, but that this might be referred to the annuity board rather than the executive committee, and we'll be happy to work with them in any way that we possibly can if this will be satisfactory with you, Brother Stevens.
Thank you for this word of explanation, Brother Stevens.
Dr. Pascal and Dr. Ruth, I made this motion yesterday for the executive board to handle it, as you observe, on Dr. Ruth's suggestion, but I'm sure on further consideration that the annuity board is the proper agency to handle this, and I'm only interested in getting something helpful accomplished here, regardless of the channels. And I would make a substitute motion to my own motion, if that's agreeable, that we ask the annuity board to conduct this survey and to pursue this matter in the most helpful way possible, and to certainly include our widows.
All right, we have a motion now, really, on the substitute. If you favor, did I hear a second to that? Motion is made now on substituting. If you favor, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. Now, are you ready to vote on what is substituted? If you favor this substitution, which is to refer to the annuity board rather than the executive committee, and to include the word widow, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. There's none, and it is ordered. Thank you. Noble.
Brother Chairman, the other gentleman, Brother Cottrell, has agreed to wait till this afternoon.
Brother Cottrell has agreed to wait till this afternoon for the consideration of his motion, one of the most Christian things I ever saw. Now, does that bring us up to the next item? We are running exactly 50 minutes behind schedule. Now, we are going to take up where we left off, and we want you to stay with us. You ought to do that. You've been staying with us, and we need you now. Yeah, I think so, since we're so late. Yes. Yes.
Dr. Pastor, if we're not through yet, may I make a request to be heard this afternoon at this time? It's miscellaneous business.
What is the concern?
I want to make a motion concerning to the
what is the concern?
Program committee concerning the name of our conventions and some suggestions for discussion.
Give me your attention here a moment. A brother is wanting to introduce new business. Can't do that, can we, on Friday morning? We do have a miscellaneous business period this afternoon, but to be no chance for its publication, I believe, as I had to do last year, that I'll have to rule this out of order.
I couldn't find this in the book.
Well, it's a little hazy, I'll admit. But we've been following it pretty closely to put everything in the bulletin. Will the convention sustain me in this ruling? All right, we come now to the next item of business, which is the recognition of our fraternal messengers. Give me a moment, please. There is no time in our proceedings more significant from a Christian standpoint or from a Baptist standpoint than the recognition of fraternal messengers. I wish we had time for these brethren to make speeches for themselves and as representatives of their respective fellowships. Obviously, we do not have such time. But to bring greetings to our convention, I recognize the president of the American Baptist Convention, Dr. Culbert G. Rutenberg. Will you please come to the microphone?
John F. Kennedy once stood in Berlin and cried, "I am a Berliner." And I think with a great deal of more appropriateness, I can stand before the Southern Baptist Convention and say, "I am a Southern Baptist." As a matter of fact, yesterday, Dr. Sullivan of the Sunday School Board introduced me to a person on the elevator by saying, "This is the best Southern American Baptist that I know." For the last 17 years, I have crisscrossed the territory of the Southern Convention, speaking at your colleges, your universities, your state student conventions. I've been to Glorieta. I've been to Ridgecrest. I have the honor of holding an honorary degree from one of your colleges. And I wouldn't be fair to myself if I did not say that I was a richer and a better man because of these contacts that I've had through the years with you and your leaders. This year, your theme and our theme was practically identical. Our theme was good news for modern man. Your theme was good news for today's world. This is a happenstance, a trivial one in itself, but I like to think that perhaps it is symbolic of the fact that we are beginning to read the signs of the times with similar eyes, perhaps. We realize that we share the common problems of our nation and of our world and the common mandate from our one Lord Jesus Christ to raise his standard in this nation and in this world. Those of us who are your smaller brethren in Christ from the American Baptist Convention have long rejoiced with you in your evangelistic zeal and concern. We now salute you for the blow that you struck for social justice when you adopted on Wednesday the statement that you did on the crisis in our racial situation in this country. When Southern Baptists speak, the rest of us listen and take courage. For when 11 million Southern Baptists are aroused, the rest of us know that there is hope under God for this nation. I want to say to you, God bless you, give you strength for the battles that are ahead. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rutenberg. A beloved brother and a fine friend who has contributed already so very much to our life and work. Now may I ask if Reverend Elton Kirstein is here?
He is not, Brother.
Brother Kirstein from the North American Baptist General Conference is not here. Reverend W.H. Dudley, Houston, Texas, representing the National Baptist Convention, USA, Incorporated, is here. Will you come to the microphone, please? Pardon? Brother Kirstein is here. I'm sorry. Somebody said you were not here, and I beg your pardon. We want fraternal greetings. Thank you.
I count it an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning to bring greetings from the North American Baptist General Conference. Dr. Frank H. Wojcie, our Executive Secretary, is sorry that he's not able to be here with you. And so on behalf of our conference, we greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we labor together, may we labor thinking of Christ as the dying Savior, His love, His risen power, and then His ascended glory as an interceder for us, and His coming glory as He receives His bride. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Gerstein. And now I recognize Reverend W.H. Dudley, Houston, Texas, who will bring us fraternal greetings from the National Baptist Convention, USA, Incorporated.
Thank you, President, officers, members of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting here in our city. As a member of the Board of Directors of the National Baptist Convention, USA, Incorporated, and President of the Baptist Missionary and Educational Convention of Texas, I have been asked by our fine and illustrious President, Dr. J.H. Jackson, to bring you greetings from this great Christian body that comprises a membership of more than 6 million. And I greet you today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're very sorry that Dr. Jackson could not be present, but he has asked me to say to you that we're certainly happy to see you here and hope for you all of the success that can be obtained. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we are meeting here today in one of the darkest hours of our history. And God sent His Son into the world. It was a dark hour. And man was a criminal standing before the bar of justice, eating sin like bread and drinking iniquity like water, too mean to live and was not prepared to die, and disgust had settled in the top of the trees and justice had a sword drawn on him saying, pay me. The world was then and is now a sick world, sin sick. Sin is an awful thing. Sin will stain the character of man. Sin will wreck a man's life. And sin will damn a man's soul. It is the worst serpent that has ever bitten humanity. It is the grandmother of all crime. My brothers and sisters, this is a sick world. And guided missiles, hydrogen bombs, rifle in the hands of snipers, president assassination, water hose, police dogs, dynamite, riot, race hate, nor any other hate will kill the ills of this world. Jesus is the only panacea for the world's ills. Not economics, but Jesus. Not the president, but Jesus. Not sit-ins, but Jesus. Not walls, but Jesus. The preacher said in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and I shall quote from Moffat translation, "For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, the royal dignity he wears, and this is the title that he bears, a wonder of a counselor, a divine hero, a father for all times, a peaceful prince. Great is his authority, and endless is his peace. I greet you also in the name of God, that great Elohim God, that God that created the heavens and painted them blue, that God that made the earth and dyed it green, that God that fastened the sun on the candlestick of his own glory and made the stars to move around the sun as a playground. I greet you in the name of that God that made man in his own image and likeness and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I greet you in the name of that God that is feeding millions from one table right now and has an inexhaustible supply always left on hand. You can't eat him out. You can't wear him out. For if you read the 24th Psalms, you'll find the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I greet you in his name today. Brothers, sisters, let us live for God and pass the good life on to others.
Brother Dudley, with just a little encouragement, you would have taken off. And I believe you would have carried all of us with you. I recognize Dr. J.D. Huey, who knows personally our next returnal messenger and who deserves the privilege of presenting him.
I'm delighted to introduce to you Mr. Theo van der Laan of Holland, a 1959 graduate of the Baptist Seminary in Ruislingen, Switzerland. Mr. van der Laan is now General Secretary of the Dutch Baptist Union.
In Christ's name, I greet you all for Dutch Baptists and also for the European Baptists. I'm delighted to be among you and enjoy your hospitality. May God bless this great denomination.
Wonderful. We are blessed, brethren, by these men who represent our brothers and sisters in Christ. The man chosen to speak as representative of the Fraternal Messengers is chairman of the North American Baptist Fellowship, who has been in our meetings on many occasions. An illustrious man and a fine leader, I am happy for the privilege of presenting to our convention Dr. V. Carney Hargroves, and he will bring us a message.
Mr. President, when I began to think of this occasion, I was reminded of a story that was told by Norman Vincent Peale back in February, when he spoke on the occasion of the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Chapel of the Four Chaplains. Dr. Peale said that on one occasion he had a speaking engagement in Bloomington, Illinois. He found himself in the town of Bloomington sometime before he was to make his address and had nothing to read. He looked around and found a local newspaper. He read everything in it, first page to last page, including society news, something he says he rarely does. Then Dr. Pugh paused to say that just north of Bloomington, there is a little town called Normal, and in another direction from Bloomington is one called Oblong. And that as he looked through the newspaper and came to the society page, he saw this heading, Normal Boy Marries Oblong Girl. Then he added this observation that he undoubtedly thought their children would be squares. I rather thought this morning that I might be speaking on behalf of the squares, those who come under the heading of fraternal delegates. Now, I've watched my watch very carefully this morning, and I'd prepared an address that was supposed to take just 20 minutes. I'm going to try to catch up about 15 minutes by abandoning my address entirely and giving it over to the secretary for such use as he may wish to make of it. I saw this done recently in the American Baptist Convention, and everybody applauded, and I hope I get the same response here. I was asked to speak to you actually on behalf and about the North American Baptist Fellowship. Let me say just briefly that there are now 8 American, North American Baptist bodies in this fellowship. I list them alphabetically. The American Baptist Convention, the Baptist Federation of Canada, the National Baptist Convention of America, the National Baptist Convention of Mexico, the North American Baptist General Conference, the Progressive National Baptist Convention, the Seventh-day Baptist General Conference, and the Southern Baptist Convention. In my address, I have some fine information about the North American Baptist Fellowship, what it's all about, what it's intended to do, and all the rest. But I come down to page 6 and read to you 10 proposals which come from the fellowship. Some I've included here for the first time. Some have been widely disseminated. First, let Baptist bodies report through their publications what other Baptist bodies and individuals are doing. State convention papers might well carry a regular column of this nature. Second, let Baptist bodies share with each other some of their plans and programs as well as their schedules. Even minutes of meetings might be exchanged. Third, let theological seminaries arrange exchanges of students, even teachers, that would take them for brief periods of time into different environments. Fourth, let summer assemblies make use of speakers and leaders from as many Baptist bodies as possible. Fifth, let program committees of annual convention meetings invite to participate one or more speakers from other Baptist groups. Sixth, let churches arrange for pulpit exchanges whenever possible. Seven, let our boards of publication and our presses engage in joint publications. I need not even suggest the potential values in doing this. Eight, let state conventions and associations, especially in the United States, develop projects within their respective areas that bring together large groups for rallies or small groups for informal discussions. Let individual ministers take the lead in their respective communities, this is 9, in forming an interracial and an interconvention committee that will plan for one or more cooperative efforts. Let all Baptists work for unity, not because they have to, but because they want to, not driven to unity by desperation, but by inspiration. And in my last paragraph, I simply say this. There is a parallel between the needs of the first century as Jesus saw them and the needs of the 20th century. To be true to our calling, we are obligated to accept the insights of Jesus Christ and relate them by thought and action to our day and generation. If we were to spell out these needs specifically, we would of necessity face courageously as you have been doing, the problems of race. This great numbers of our Baptist people are doing both North and South. We would also be deeply concerned about our involvements with other nations and do all we possibly can to bring about peace in our time. I appreciate your resolutions on peace. We would be appreciative of our freedoms and be willing to share them with other human beings. We would seek ways to be more adequate in challenging the secular mind and becoming more effective in evangelism in a materialistic society. There are 16 million Baptists now related to each other in the North American Baptist Fellowship. Let's get together and literally turn North America, yes, and even the world, upside down in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Fine.
Thank you, Dr. Hargroves. We are grateful for this appropriate word. Now, with the consent of the convention, we should like to bring the special music to you now, because these wonderful young people whom you see on the platform have a travel plan, and we need to cooperate with them. Is there objection to changing the order to accommodate the students? We hear the students. Bob Sneed will make a presentation.
There are a lot of wonderful Baptist Student Union choirs in our convention. The one that you shall hear now is one of the finest. As all of you know, Baptist Student Union choirs are volunteer choirs, young people who are students and love the Lord and love to sing about His love to them. And this is what we have today. This expense of this trip is out of their pockets, and we appreciate so much them coming this far to sing for us. The choir is under the direction of Mr. Bob White, who's a real bird, and is the son of Dr. White, W.R. White, who is pastor of First Baptist Church, Montgomery. We will hear them prayerfully.
Come with us, all the Lord, and let our joy be known. Join in
Losing in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Up above the mountain, I will soar. But up this mountain, far and small, the God around me, the fire, and I am my Lord, it all is mine.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart,
Now, folks, may I beg of you to give us your very best support. We need your presence. We need your participation, and we're going to do the very best we can with the remaining part of this program. I must not pass by this opportunity of recognizing the president of Samford University, Dr. Wright. Lift your hand high. Dr. Sigurd Bryan, the chaperone. Where is Sigurd? Hold up your hand, Sigurd. He and I were in the seminary together. We shared the same office in the Old Testament department as fellows. My two daughters went to Samford University. One is graduated, one is still a student there. So the feature on the program just concluded. It had a special significance to me. We come now to the Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs. And I do not request that the reports be liquidated or modified to the point of tragedy, but let me request that you do your best in getting right to the point with every report.
Dr. Carpenter. All of us have
admired the expeditious way in which our president has led and the democratic process has worked as we have found our way in these intricate questions. And Mr. President, I promise I'll be very cooperative. We have two items of action that we need in order to keep in working shape. The one is to approve or accept the report, the formal report, as printed on page 170 and following. There are no recommendations in the report. I recommend that you read it and study it, preach on it, but we can, in the brevity of time, simply act on it. And I so move that we accept the report without reading or discussion of it. Mr. President, may I place that motion at this point?
Dr. Carlson, I never thought it could happen. Pardon me.
Well,
I didn't mean to be.
I'm going to stay with you a little bit.
What is your motion?
My motion is that we receive the report without discussion as printed.
We don't need the motion. We shall receive the report as you have printed it.
Thank you.
Move on.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Thank
to you.
You
and the convention.
Mr. President, we have also the matter of acting on a recommendation from the Committee on Boards, which recommends the continuation of the same committee that we had last year, except that the new president becomes the member in the place of the retiring president. I think this is a matter that we turn for the Committee on Boards for action.
Chairman of the Committee on Boards, will you please come and give us a report for the joint committee? Dr. Crabtree?
Brother President, members of this convention, on page 4 of your Wednesday bulletin, at the bottom of the page, you will find the nominees of your committee on boards. The first 7 of these serve by virtue of their position, and in view of the recommendation of the executive committee, which was approved, we would suggest that, beginning with Brother Dean of North Carolina, that Brother Dean and Brother Odell be elected to serve a term of 1 year, Brother Evans and Brother Adams a term of 2 years, Brother Ragsdale and Brother Packwood of a term of 3 years, and Brother Phelps and Brother Young a term of 4 years. This would bring this recommendation into order with the action of the convention.
You so move.
I so move, Brother President.
Do I hear a second? Are you ready to vote? All favoring, lift your hand. Opposition by like sign. It is ordered.
Now I should like simply to bring you a greeting from the nation's capital, and to record in the Secretary's minutes a request for next year. We are living in days that are developing tremendously important public policies. And time again in this convention, we have indicated our concern and our involvement. I have often wished, as I have listened to the discussion, that we might have had a time early in the convention session for an overview, an attempt to see what is really happening in our time. And I wish that we had had a chance for the convention's committee to bring such an interpretation on the basis of their studied context and analysis. I think the convention is entitled to that kind of service from its elected committee. And so, friends, I am going to suggest that we record in the minutes of this year a request that we carry this year's time over into next year and try to plan early in the convention session for a more extended handling of the contemporary public scene, and hope that it will save us time as we become involved in specifics. And with that, I yield my time, Mr. President, to the succeeding program, hoping that we can catch up on the schedule.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson. You're gracious and helpful.
May I read this communication? The Western North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church in session at Lake Unalaska sends greetings and good wishes to your convention, Earl G. Hunt, Jr., Bishop W.T. Medlin, Jr., Secretary. Now, I've been asked to request that all the seats downstairs, that is on the floor, first floor, and in the first balcony, be reserved tonight until 6:15 for the messengers of the convention. And at that time, then, all others will be admitted. I say this because on other special occasions, messengers have not been able to get into the convention hall. But now, don't be late, or you could lose out again. I recognize now Dr. Rutledge, who will bring us a report on Canadian Baptist cooperation. And may I say that our brother, who is to bring the special address this morning, has agreed to give us back 10 minutes of the time allotted to him. And we're going to bring him on at 12 o'clock, which will mean we shall go 15 minutes beyond the scheduled adjournment time. And with all of these adjustments, we feel that all of us should cooperate. So keep this in mind, and we'll do what we can up to this point.
Thank you, Mr. President. You'll find the report of your Committee on Canadian Baptist Cooperation in today's convention bulletin on page 7. This is a substitute for the report which appears in the Book of Reports on page 177. The reason for that substitution is that after the report had been turned in February, there was another meeting of this joint committee. And so the report, as you find it in your bulletin, involves a report of two meetings, one held in November of 1967, another held April 30 and May 1 in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Both of these meetings were harmonious and constructive. There is a report of these meetings in full here on page 7. I'd like to take a moment to present, just that he may stand and you may see him, Dr. W. Bertram King. Dr. King, for the past 10 years, has represented Southern Baptists as a liaison representative with the Baptist of Canada. Our brethren in Canada have expressed great appreciation for his warmth and his fellowship, and we're grateful to you, Dr. King, for this service. Mr. President, the report contains two recommendations. Recommendation number one, that the committee be continued another year. It is our thought that maybe within the next year or two, the need for this committee will have ended as we become better adjusted within the North American Baptist Fellowship.
Do I hear a second to the motion? Any question? All favoring, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. It is ordered.
Recommendation number two, Mr. Chairman, picks up an item in the report. The Baptists of Canada, particularly of the Baptist Federation of Canada, have shown great concern for our people in Cuba, our Southern Baptists in Cuba, missionaries there, and Cuban nationals. They have been very helpful in a number of ways. And so the recommendation is that this convention authorize its recording secretary to express to the Baptist Federation of Canada our appreciation for their Christian fellowship and for their compassionate assistance to our fellow Baptists in Cuba.
I so move.
Do I hear a second? Is there a question? All favoring the motion, lift your hand. Opposition by like sign. It is carried. Does this conclude the report? I recognize now Dr. Rayburn Brantley, who will bring us a report from the American Baptist Theological Seminary.
Mr. President, I wonder if Dr. Charles Boddy is in the house anywhere. He was to have been here to have spoken to this report. You will find the, and I'm sure travel delays have kept him from coming. You'll find the report on page 141 of your book of reports. The joint operation of the American Baptist Theological Seminary by the National Baptist Convention USA Incorporated and the Southern Baptist Convention is an effort. It's an interesting and a helpful venture in cooperation. An effort to give the best possible ministerial preparation to predominantly Negro students. The seminary has in recent years added women to its program, now making up about 15% of the 70 students on the campus and 869 students in extension centers in many states over the country. A very fine class of 14 was graduated last week. There is a constant need for scholarship and loan fund aid for needy students. Anything that you can do to direct students to the seminary, get them interested in it, and to help provide funds for their needs will be greatly appreciated. Sometime when you're in Nashville, be sure to make a point of seeing the seminary. Thank you.
You're in the recommendation.
Thank you, Dr. Bradley, for this report. And now we come to the Chaplain's Commission. I recognize Dr. George W. Cummings, Director, Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today there's some 1,700 Southern Baptist ministers serving as chaplains around the world. At the present time, there are 135 Southern Baptist ministers in Vietnam serving. We certainly want to give them our prayers and our support in regard to this great and wonderful ministry among the military personnel and their families. Each year in the Air Force, at Easter time, there is an offering taken in the chapels, and that offering comes as a mission offering. And this year we have a proportion of that offering which is based on the number of chaplains that we have in the Air Force on active duty. And I have the privilege at this time to have a check in my hand for the amount of $15,782. And I'd like for Dr. Ruth to come forward and accept this check on behalf of the Air Force. And it is given to the cooperative program designated for our seminaries.
Thank you.
I know that the seminaries will want to express their appreciation to the chapels and to the chaplains of the Air Force for this very significant contribution which has been made by young men serving in the Air Force all over the world. And I should like, I'm sure, Brother Cummings, for this convention and for the seminaries to ask you to express to the Chief of Chaplains of the Air Force and to the chaplains our most sincere appreciation. I think you might get it. Here you are. Thank you very much.
Also would like for these chaplains and their wives who are sitting here on the platform and the members of the Chaplains Commission to please stand. Thank you. Dr. T.E. Carter, Assistant Director in charge of Institutional Chaplaincy, will come and now speak for a few minutes to our report. Dr. Carter.
One of our military chaplains suggested that in light of this morning's schedule, someone ought to speak on that old military text, "Hurry up and wait." However, I have chosen a verse from the fourth chapter of Mark. You'll remember the familiar passage when Jesus and his disciples were crossing the water in a boat, and Jesus went to sleep. A storm arose, and the disciples were terrified. They went and found Jesus asleep. They woke him up and they said, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" My friends, you're very well aware that Southern Baptists are being asked this very question today. We answer in the affirmative and say, of course we care. And to show our care and our concern, we offer the words of life, the words of eternal and abundant life in Jesus Christ. This is the reply of Baptists generally, but it is particularly the reply of your Southern Baptist chaplains. We're being urged from all sides to join the 20th century, to get involved with the issues of life. I am happy to say that Southern Baptist chaplains are and have been very much involved in the issues of life. They are involved with all sorts of people and all sorts of issues in a great variety of locations throughout this whole world. About 1,000 chaplains now represent us to the ends of the earth. Here on our platform, Air Force Chaplain Warren Ferguson is representative of one man who serves in the military and has given his life in personal involvement to some of God's choice people who are in the military. Likewise, he serves and attempts to win to Christ those who come with virtually no religious background whatsoever. He and over 700 other military chaplains on active duty are very much involved, and they spread a spirit of renewal wherever they go around this earth. Yes, they care. We are being urged from all sides today to be relevant. What could be more relevant than the work being carried on right here in Houston by chaplains like Dr. Kenneth Pepper, who serves at the Institute of Religion? He and over 200 other Southern Baptist hospital chaplains face the issues of life and death around the clock. They deal with people in crisis, people of every racial, every social, every cultural background. Their methods must be specialized, their training of the very highest quality. They see genuine transformations take place in people who find the power and the peace of God to live, to suffer, or to die. Yes, hospital chaplains certainly care and are relevant. We are being called upon by people around the religious world to be more ecumenical. A long time before most of us ever knew what the word meant or how to pronounce it, Southern Baptist chaplains were already ecumenical. They were going forth ministering to people of other faiths who would receive their ministry. And where they could not minister in good conscience, they were calling in help from other denominations, people who could minister to these individuals under their care. I would cite Chaplain Jack Hanbury of the United States Penitentiary in Atlanta as one example of this kind of cooperative spirit. Involved with over 2,000 social rejects, the upper crust, if you please, of the criminal world, he calls in ministers and laymen of many denominations to work with him, to aid him, to join in a cooperative spirit. He cooperates fully without compromise to his Baptist faith and principles. Chaplains are able to share their insights their love, their adventure in serving Christ with those of other denominations. Teacher, do you not care if we perish? Of course he cares. And he continues to call out ministers of the gospel to go and to represent him as Southern Baptist chaplains. We thank God for the response of fine people, people who will go, who will serve in your stead. And we stand willing to aid as your chaplain's commission. As chaplains proclaim a message of healing, of redemption, of brotherhood under Christ, we ask you to support them by your interest and by your prayers.
Is that all?
I would like at this time just to take a couple of minutes and ask that we stand and have a moment of silent prayer for these men serving around the world, and particularly the sons and daughters that are serving in the war area and in the military. Would you please stand? Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thank you. Be seated. Thank you, Dr. Cummins, for this report. Now, may I ask Wendell Davis, who made an amendment to the peace resolution, I believe it was the peace resolution, Separation Church and State Resolution, to bring a copy of this, or we'll just come and report to Dr. Allen, our secretary. He needs two or three bits of information. Wendell Davis, please report to Dr. Allen. I recognize Dr. T.T. Crabtree, who was not here a moment ago, for the presentation of the Committee on Boards as it relates to the American Baptist Theological Seminary.
Brother President and Convention, you'll find it on page 3 of the Wednesday Bulletin. I move that these nominees be elected.
Do I hear a second? If you favor the election of these people to serve, as indicated, please lift your hand. Opposition by like sign, and these are elected. Now, brethren, I do appreciate the cooperation of these agencies, these directors, these program personalities, and even more importantly, I appreciate you as messengers who have borne with us, and we're a little bit ahead of what we thought we might be. I want to recognize our minister of music. Is he on the platform? Yes, Bob Sneed, who will introduce the special music, after which I shall introduce our special speaker. And we want to stay with our speaker. He's been asked to bring us an address, and we need to hear what he has to say.
My happy privilege now to introduce to you Mrs. Jack Terrell, Beverly Terrell, member of the choir, First Baptist Church, Dallas, and one who we have heard before and love to hear. She has a dedicated voice to the one who gave it to her. We'll listen prayerfully now as she sings. By his soul.
I can be what I am in each word, in each thought. It's not I, but it's Christ who lives. Yes, there's more, so much more.
What I should sing for you today, I must admit that my emotions were very similar to the emotions I had a little over 4 years ago as I found myself a new resident in the city of Dallas and scheduled to sing for a dinner in downtown Dallas on November the 22nd. I was dismayed when I realized that that dinner was not to be canceled and I had to sing. As I was dismayed to think that I had to sing for you today, when in many ways I do not feel like singing. And as in November of that year, this morning I prayed, Lord, what can I sing? Especially on a program where we're to speak about good news for Christian brotherhood, when at times it seems that there is no brotherhood at all. I thought it was most interesting that in November of 1963, as I prayed that prayer so earnestly, Lord, what can I sing? That this morning, the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, placed the same words in my mind that He placed that night. So this morning for you, I would like to sing what I sang that same night in downtown Dallas. I think a prayer written by a Catholic many hundreds of years ago, but which must be our prayer today. The prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, who said, Lord, make me just an instrument of thy peace.